A brand new week, and you and I are back together again on Monday, February 3rd, 2025, on Connecticut Today. We welcomed State House Republican Leader Vin Candelora on the show. He chatted about the current legal fight brewing between big utilities and the state's PURA leadership. University of New Haven Associate Professor of Accounting and Taxation, Dr. James Mose, returned to update us on the latest news regarding President Trump's use of tariffs as political tools. And I also had a few more thoughts on the relative lack of perspective, I think, from our state and local leaders on the role of immigration and customs enforcement agents in Connecticut.
All right, what the heck is going on with UI, with Avangrid, with Eversource, with a gas company, PURA, Marissa Gillette, who likes her, who doesn't like her? Governor Ned Lamont the other day saying, hey, can't we all just get along? I don't know, can we? Vin Candelora is here, Republican State House leader. Hey, Vin, it's Paul. How are you?
I'm doing well. How are you?
Vin, I don't know how you do it, man. I don't know how you and the other leaders.
Lots of deep breaths and prayers.
Lots of coffee, lots of water. So, Vin, outline this for us. So you've got Eversource here, who seems to, it was a great story by Dan Haar from Hearst today. Kevin Reddy's been writing about this in the Current. Eversource seems to have a much better relationship and higher investments in their home state in Massachusetts than they do here. There's legal action now by Eversource against PURA. There are allegations that PURA is doing things illegally, that Marissa Gillette is. They're laughing this off. The governor wants kumbaya here. She's up for another certification here. So outline this, Vin. This is bad on so many levels here.
Yeah, I mean, this is a lack of leadership, and it just demonstrates, a lack of direction for the state of Connecticut on energy policy. And we have an agency that's run rogue. They've run amok. We have Senator Needleman that called the whole lawsuit frivolous. Mm-hmm. But at the same time, he put legislation in to actually allow Marissa Gillette to do what the company is suing her of doing. And that is, she's acting unilaterally. We have a board of three.
Yeah.
By law, it's supposed to be a board of
five.
They're
making
decisions.
Yeah.
The governor's ignoring that law and saying, nah, I feel like having three only. But the law is the law. But despite even having three, apparently, the allegations are that she's been acting on her own without getting input from the other two. So it's just, we have a real mess on our hands. And I wish, the governor would comply with the law, make all five appointments, and start to work toward better energy policy. It is embarrassing. And in the long run, it's only going to cost ratepayers even more.
You know, Vin, one thing that I was very dismayed about, and I wanted to get your thoughts on this. You know, listen, I know there, Vin, you and I know that there aren't a lot of people who love the utility companies. That goes back decades, hundreds of years. We know that. Nobody likes paying bills. But I found it a little untawdry and kind of bullying where, there were editorials and letters submitted by the utility companies that were critical of PURA and Marissa Gillette, and they were quickly denounced as some sort of attack mode here. It's unfair. And I'm sitting here, well, wait a minute. As much as some people may not like the companies, Vin, for whatever reason, they do have freedom of speech. I mean, I don't think we want to tell people that, hey, they're not allowed to argue their point. I mean, that part really dismayed me.
Yeah, and also, I mean, they are bullies in the playground. I mean, the Democrats have gone unchallenged for too long. They have single-party rule in this state, so there is a level of arrogance that comes out of that that party. But, it's easy to hate the electric companies. I mean, we love to hate them, basically.
Sure, yeah.
And for people to come to their defense, like myself, I've sort of talked about the problem with the regulatory scheme. It's easy just to beat them up the way we've seen Democrats doing all this time. Mm-hmm. But you really have to scratch your head when you're looking at independent agencies like Moody's and S&P that are downgrading our electric companies and saying, the regulatory environment in the state of Connecticut is so bad that these companies need to be downgraded in their borrowing. And that's just going to cost us more money in the long run. And the Democrats have dismissed that as being, you know, they're being political or they're in cahoots with the electric companies. You know, these are federally regulated entities that are dealing with our stock exchange.
Yeah.
And to dismiss them as being in cahoots, you start wondering, you know, what kind of tinfoil hats the Democrats are putting on. And I think the ratepayers, we're going to lose this game of chicken. And I'm surprised it's gone on for this long, to be honest.
Yeah. And so, Vin, what is the process now? Because correct me if I'm wrong. Is Marissa Gillette, she is up for recertification or reemployment, right?
Yeah.
Because she was so, I mean, how nasty, Vin, could this get? And I'm not asking you to tip your hand here or anything, but do you foresee this? And does your caucus foresee this as being a little contentious here? Or might there be people maybe on more on both sides, Vin, that say, maybe we need a fresh face? How do you think this shakes out?
Yeah, I don't see it being contentious, but I think there's a lot of issues that need to be flushed out and a lot of questions. The one thing that's been frustrating with this process is, you know, these appointments haven't been vetted since the last one, I think, that was made. Marissa was made in 2019.
Yeah, yeah.
So we're going on 6 years without any vetting. She's been 2 years into her second term coming before the legislature. So I think that alone, the whole abuse of process, a lot of it does fall with the governor. But I think there will be a lot of questions and concerns about where we are as a state, because bottom line is we have to worry about the ratepayers. So I think you're going to see a lot of questions of, you know, what is the long-term plan for Connecticut? Where is this going? Because, you know, like I said, this game of chicken isn't working out. Our electric companies have divested from the state of Connecticut. They're putting all the money into Massachusetts.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, that was the crux of that Dan Haar piece. I don't know whether you've seen it, but he's talking, you know, and he did a nice graphic there. I mean, that's a couple of $1 billion more that they're investing in Massachusetts. So, and I'm not to put you on the spot here, Vin, but do other states do what we do? Does Massachusetts, for example, do they have a board with a single powerful chair? I mean, how is it done in other states? Is it almost the same?
It is all similar. The one difference is, you know, in Connecticut, we are the only ones that have PURA, our regulatory body, under DEEP, the Environmental Protection. Mm-hmm. So, you know, she's sort of instructed to apply policies like, you know, the clean air policies and electric vehicles. And so it isn't just about regulating and maximizing lower electric costs. So Connecticut does have a structure that's different from any other state. That is why Republicans have said we need to separate out the two and have PURA stop worrying about policy and start worrying about electric regulation only. And I'm hoping that we could get that over the finish line this year. But bottom line is Democrats have rejected every proposal that we've had in the last 2 years, but they've offered none of their own. So it's been very frustrating in Hartford watching this play out literally for 2 years and there be no solutions other than finger pointing.
Vin Candelora. Vin, always good to have you on, my friend. Thanks, and we'll chat down the road.
Thank you.
Thanks, Vin. Appreciate it. There's the State House Republican leader. All right, let's talk to a gentleman who told us a few days ago, hey, he said tariffs work, or the threat of tariffs always seems to work. Dr. James Mose, Associate Professor of Accounting and Taxation at the University of New Haven. Hey, Jim, it's Paul again. How are you? Hey, you were right. Remember what you told us a few days ago? You said the threat of tariffs tends to work, and at least for now, Jim, I guess it's worked. What do you think?
I think it has. I mean, so far, so good. I mean, when they use tariffs as a threat, you're looking to see who blinks first.
Yeah.
And so far what's happened is Colombia's blinked, Venezuela's blinked, Panama's blinking, Mexico's blinked, and it's just Canada go. So
yeah,
it's going to take a little bit of time to get this all sorted out.
Yeah, yeah. And now I know whether you heard, but within the past few minutes, Canada, I guess, has blinked. It's now a 30-day timeout. Now, the timeouts are there, and I Listen, I guess, Jim, when you're in a situation like this, both sides have to, like, look decent or good for home consumption, right? I mean, I'd love to hear the discussions that actually do go on, you know, on these secured lines versus the stuff that they end up having to say to their own consumers.
Yeah, they're responsible. I mean, the consumers are putting a lot of pressure. They don't want to pay more.
Yeah.
You know, enough is enough. You're right. They put a pause on it. That's just to iron it out. So I didn't hear about that. That's something new. Thank you for telling me, because I was in class and I don't have access to news when.
No. I wanted to make sure you heard that. Yeah. So 30 days. So what do you think then, Jim? And the guest is Dr. James Mose from the University of New Haven. So what now goes on? Do they hand this over? Does President Sheinbaum in Mexico and Mr. Trump and Prime Minister Trudeau, do they push all the chips now to their trade representatives and their commerce people and say, hey, put this all in writing?
Absolutely. And remember what I told you, it's also going to take some time anyway.
Yeah.
Once everybody blinks and once they come up with a pause period, that's when the negotiations start. And I would expect that a lot of these, you know, it's not going to be blanket 25% anymore. Yeah. It might be just on specific items, just to get equality to what, you know, we're charging them what they're charging us.
Yeah, exactly. To balance it out, and maybe, Jim, you know, you put it on. I mean, there's got to be stuff there, I would imagine, in all these categories, whether it's produce, whether it's hard goods. You know, with Mexico, a lot of American sold automobiles are made down there. I would imagine it's all got to balance out here to say,
Mexico's interesting because what happens is Mexico seems to be a dumping ground for Chinese goods, circumventing the tariffs.
Really?
Yeah, so there's going to be a lot there. But you're right to a certain degree. I mean, there are certain things that probably will not bear tariffs, such as medical devices, things like that that are of a social good. I mean, tequila might, but I would doubt that medical devices would be, or any medicines or anything like that are actually made in Mexico.
Or guacamole or avocados. I got friends of mine who love their guacamole. I'm like, well, geez, you may just have to pay more for it.
Yeah, I mean, some foodstuffs will, some foodstuffs might not.
Yeah.
I mean, it all depends on what. The key is, and the most important part, is to keep, if you're going to keep the tariffs off, you've got to comply. And it looks like the way everything's lining up, Mexico is going to, at least they say they're going to start working on border, you know, border compliance, stopping it. Panama is at that end, so nothing's going to be getting through.
Yeah.
So in order for illegal immigration to happen, it's going to have to come through other avenues.
Yeah, and finally, Jim, the thing with automobiles now is interesting, because a lot of people may or may not realize, you know, the big car makers, they make a lot of cars that are branded with American labels and other labels, too, in Mexico that are sold here. So I wonder, Jim, what the pressure may have been, you know, from the auto lobby, from the big three auto group and more, you know, what they were saying in the background, because I wonder how that works economically. You're making something in Mexico that's branded with nameplates that are all over the world, including the U.S.
Mm-hmm. Well, you know, in a global economy, you're going to have U.S. manufacturers manufacturing all over the world. They're looking for economies to scale, right? Labor costs, raw material costs, transportation of goods and services and the like, all types of little components. That being said, I'm sure that many of the big players had something to say.
Yeah.
But let's back up. Remember, Mexico has been a dumping ground for a lot of Chinese stuff for years.
Mm-hmm.
So offsetting that might be the U.S. owners of those plants saying, hey, come on. I don't know if you remember back a while ago, Trump's first term, he put tariffs on washing machines and some other things because China was just dumping them into Mexico. And into
I remember that. Yeah.
Yeah. So they're trying to stop that, too. I mean, all these tariffs are designed to do is to create fair trade.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we'll tariff at our rate, you tariff us at the same rate or so forth. Don't go overboard. Don't do anything. That's the design. It's also designed to increase U.S. production.
Hmm.
I mean, tariffs in general without any controls are inflationary, but with controls are not inflationary. If you're creating a better economy by creating more jobs by producing domestically, then that offsets any inflation of imported goods. Hmm. You buy less imported goods.
Absolutely.
So, plus, you know, and there are a lot of other benefits with that as well, such as border control.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, that's what we're looking for. I think what he's doing is just trying to shore up partnerships to keep the borders safe.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. I mean, obviously, that's the end goal here. Sure.
And that's the tool he was using.
Yeah. Jim, thanks. Dr. James Mose. He's an associate professor of accounting and taxation at the University of New Haven. Jim, you were right. I'll give you that much, and we'll follow this together. Thank you, Jim. Appreciate it.
Yeah, my pleasure, Paul. My pleasure.
Thanks, Dr. James Mose, Ph.D., Jim Mose, University of New Haven. What did he say when we had him on last week? He said, yeah, you know, people may not like him. They may not think it's a good thing for relations, but what did he say? Tariffs work? All right, I know I've been saying this over and over again, but if I don't keep saying it, my head's going to explode. My eyes are going to pop out of my head. My ears are going to fall off. Whatever hair I have left on the sides of my head is going to come flying out like projectiles. Stop scaring everybody. This is ridiculous. This is ludicrous. I'm home over the weekend scurrying around stuff on the internet, reading stuff locally and nationally, stuff here in Connecticut. Oh, there's more warnings going out from this school system and that school system. What to do if ICE comes into your schools? ICE are not going to go in there and arrest kids en masse. It's not happening. It's not happening. Stop the cheap scare tactics. You're scaring kids. You're scaring parents. You're scaring people in the neighborhoods. Stop it. Stop it. Stop it. A lot of school officials around this and other areas of Connecticut should be ashamed of themselves. Parents should be ashamed of themselves. National media should be ashamed of itself. This is nuts. Why are we doing this? Why can't anybody come out and say we're looking for gang members, which is why they take a look in schools sometimes and in churches? There's gang recruitment that goes on in schools. They're not looking to arrest a bunch of five-year-olds. It hasn't happened yet. But now this is the tactic of the left. They're going to be out there saying, well, you know, the kids in schools, all right, fine. Look, if you think I'm nuts, you tell me. 203-333-9422. Have you seen any reports at all from anywhere of ICE storming into a school and taking out kids in shackles and handcuffs? No, you haven't, because up to now it hasn't happened. And the people in the upper reaches of town governments and city governments and school systems and the state, from the governor on down, warning people, well, if they come, don't talk to them, don't sign anything. You are parts of the problem. I've said this before, and I'll say it again. How dare you insinuate that good men and good women who work for the Immigration and Customs Enforcement Service, no matter who they're going after, how dare you lop them in like they're some sort of invading army? What in the hell is wrong with you? And you know who you are, you people in Bridgeport and Hartford and New Haven and at the Capitol in Hartford. What is wrong with you? You talk about Trump being anti-American over and over and over and over again. You're doing a pretty good job of it yourself by throwing our good and bright and brave men and women of a key federal agency under every bus you can. I haven't heard or read one positive utterance from any municipal leader in this state over the past 2 or 3 months saying, hey, ICE is just doing their job to get rid of bad people. Nobody has had the balls to say that. What is wrong with you? Doom and gloom, like it's War of the Worlds here. You got people running out in their cars, trying to leave in some sort of imaginary invasion. And then, don't get me started on the media people. Oh, my God. You know, I hate to criticize people in my business. And you know why? Because they're smarter than that. But, my God, what in the heck is wrong with us? 203-333-9422. 333-WICC. Here's a simple question I have. Do you think that people like the governor and the lieutenant governor and the attorneys general around this country and all these city and town officials, do you honestly think they're that scared about ICE? Or are they being pressured into what to do here? I mean, come on. Now, I'm not going to name names, but I think there are a lot of local leaders out there who are a bunch of phonies when it comes to their criticism over ICE, the fine men and women doing what they are asked to do. And yet, instead of supporting these people and giving these people a little comfort to say, hey, you know, we'll help you here if you're going after some pretty bad people, all we have been hearing for the past 2 and 3 weeks is, my God, they're going into the schools. Oh, my God, the churches. Have you seen one report of that? Now, if it happens, I will happily relate that to you if you miss a report and I see something. But come on. What is wrong with you people out there? And you know who I'm talking to. I'm not going to name names here, but my God, some of the stuff I'm reading here over the weekend is absolutely idiotic. What is the big problem with coming out to say, hey, we don't think ICE is going after, you know, law-abiding kids and their parents here? No, we don't think that. But what we have been told, and see, this is the thing. They've been told things they just don't want to tell you because they figure if they tell you what the truth is, well, you know, you're working with Trump. That's what they're afraid about. Come on. Do you think these local leaders really think ICE is going to go in there and start, you know, shuttling kids out of school in the middle of the day with a gazillion cameras around there? How does that help them? My God, you local leaders and you state leaders, show some guts out there. Understand that you were elected to govern everybody in the state, not just the people who may be in sync with you ideologically. Are we dealing with real public servants here, or are we just dealing with liars and people who are saying, hey, I can't support ICE, whoa, because you know if I do, there'll be hell to pay on election day. I, for one, I don't understand why there are too few local leaders that will come out here and just tell anybody to calm down. Are they scared? Are they showing no spine here? Because believe me, that look, it's not that they have to cozy up to ICE, but in your role, Mr. Municipal Leader or Mrs. or Ms. Municipal Leader, whatever you prefer there, on the salutation, as they say, on the form, fill one out. You know, there is more that you people could be doing, but you're afraid to, because you're afraid that if you're seen in any way as cooperating with ICE, you're going to have hell to pay. And I'm sorry to be so harsh at the beginning of the show here, but my God, understand that you run cities and towns full of everybody, not just those who voted for you. Do your job. Instead of getting up there every 10 minutes, as some state and local leaders are doing, oh, we don't participate, we don't want ICE here, we don't do anything with ICE, we don't cooperate with them. Why don't you just tell people to calm down and think for a time as to what you're saying? Story here in the Connecticut Examiner, a video posted this week to social media showing 4 federal agents detaining an immigrant and one in Willimantic is one of the few recorded and verified pieces of evidence of an ICE detention in Connecticut. as rumors and misinformation are shared widely on social media and on WhatsApp groups of Latino residents. Windham's local authorities confirmed that there was a raid in their town last Friday and another on Monday, but they wouldn't say specifically how many people had been detained. Most likely four, somewhere between two and six, said the town manager. He told that to the Connecticut Examiner. He said local authorities had not received any information from the feds about the activities of ICE, but that reports from the public had not been reliable. Asked by the Connecticut Examiner about the details of the activities in Connecticut, ICE replied it did not comment, quote, as a matter of policy and to ensure the safety of our officers. Of course not, because they know some of the dopes that run this state would get out there and blather where they were coming to and who they're looking for. Folks, this has to stop. New London got a notification last Monday, and this past Friday, Chief Brian Wright said they had not received any further information. Stamford police were also notified of an ICE action on Monday. The mayor of East Hartford, Connor Martin, said he saw ICE agents entering a house. The town's police told the Connecticut Examiner they didn't participate in the operation and had no info to confirm how many people were detained, if any at all. He confirmed there had been no operation since then. Local authorities and other municipalities with big migrant populations, including Bridgeport, New Haven, Waterbury, Norwalk, New Britain, and Danbury, told the Connecticut Examiner they were not aware of any ICE operations last week. But still, this goes on and on and on. It is mind-boggling. Instead of any good effort to tell people to relax that it's not the end of the world, and if you're a legal resident here, you have nothing to worry about, no, our leaders would rather cower in a corner and be afraid of blowback. And then the media, oh, my business. My business. Kristen Welker, did you hear this? On NBC, she now the host of Meet the Press. Now, listen. I usually give people in my business a wide berth here because I understand the pressures they're under, but come on, sometimes, and it pains me to say this, sometimes they've clearly picked a side here. Now, listen to this, and you tell me, is this good journalism? Is this a viable question, or is this, and it pains me to say this, because I usually give, as I say, journalists a wide berth here, But come on, is this, I heard this and I had to listen to this two or three times. I said, come on, you got the crying towel with this one too?
I've been talking to people who are here legally and they have expressed concerns. They say they are carrying in some cases their documents around with them. Some of them are afraid to go to churches because ICE agents are now going into churches and schools to carry out these deportation operations. Do people who are here legally need to be carrying around paperwork? Oh. And can you guarantee that people who are here legally won't be wrongfully detained?
Oh. How many acts is this soap opera? Really, Kristen? Really? Oh, they're going in and they're doing deportation raids in schools and churches. Now, let me ask you something. Honestly, kids. 203-333-9422. Honestly here, honestly. If there was, and maybe there has been, and it hasn't come to light yet, but if there was a verified ICE raid at a church, or a verified mass ICE raid at a school, don't you think that would be all over the media here? Seriously, I would put a lead story. If I was a network producer, I'd say, well, yeah, let's lead with this. ICE going into a church. Maybe they are. Have you seen any of that? 203-333-9422-333-WICC. Is all of this from members of my business down to governors, down to congressional members, down to local leaders. How irresponsible is this? Because when you have either what I have here, you know, a microphone or a national camera or the bully pulpit, as they say, of local leadership, isn't it incumbent on you to stop and say, hey, wait a minute, I cannot stir fear here and make it like duly deputized people of this government are some sort of Nazi stormtroopers? And you get stuff like this from Kristen Welker on NBC. What did I tell you what was going to happen with the crack up on this thing?
I've been talking to people who are here legally, and they have expressed concerns. They say they are carrying, in some cases, their documents around with them. Some of them are afraid to go to churches because ICE agents are now going into churches and schools to carry out these deportation operations. Do people who are here legally need to be carrying around paperwork? And can you guarantee that people who are here legally won't be wrongfully detained?
Oh, spare me. Spare me. Oh, my God. Do they have to carry their papers? Oh, come on. Get out the sobbing towel and spare me.